Welcome back to the Build Your First BI Solution with SQL Server 2008 R2 training course. In this presentation, Peter Meyer is going to drill down on the report design process.
Thanks, Roger. So the second presentation in this module, we now focus on report design basics. We're going to look at the report server project. We'll define data sources and data sets. We'll introduce the report controls that we use to design our reports. And then we'll introduce expressions and how we can introduce dynamic behaviors into the report design itself. So we'll start with the report server project. We're focusing here on producing reports with Report Designer. Okay, so this is a designer that is hosted inside Visual Studio, also available through SQL Server Business Intelligence Development Studio. And essentially, this project allows you to define shared data sources, shared data sets, reports, and then also to deploy direct from the server, or the project rather, to the report server. The great news also is it integrates with source control systems, so your investment in developing reports and data sources can be checked in and versioned and controlled. So next we talk about available data providers. So when developing data sources, we have these Microsoft providers, so SQL Server, SQL Azure, Parallel Data Warehouse, Analysis Services, Report Models, SharePoint Lists, and beyond the Microsoft data sources, we have the other. And the generic, OLEDB, ODBC, and XML. So really talking about defining data sources here, that when you define a data source, you typically reuse it. So we create a shared data source, define it once, configure the server, how it connects, the credentials used to connect to it, and then we can publish that and reuse that across multiple reports. That is generally a best practice. While it is possible to create report-specific data sources, we prefer not to from a maintenance point of view. And then we come to the next discussion about creating data sets. And a data set essentially is a command to retrieve data from a data source. And so it executes a query. From a reporting services standpoint, it returns a collection of fields that then you can use in your report designs to then represent that data. So like data sources, since the R2, the 2008 R2 release, we can now create shared data sets. We can publish them, we can reuse these shared data sets, we can even cache them to reuse the data behind the data sets across multiple reports.
Great for complex queries, if you don't want to have to keep writing them multiple times, just create a shared data set.
Great, and the complex queries is interesting because for self-service BI, you might have end users come to you saying, this is too complex for me to write the query.
Right.
Your part will be to actually produce the data set and publish it, and they can make that data set as pretty as they want using the report tool of choice.
Right.
All right, so to support building up the data sets and writing the query, there are graphical query designers to support relational writing, multi-dimensional, data mining, report models, and SharePoint lists. So there may not even be the need by you or others to know the query language to get to the data that they need. There's parameterization support that allows us to pass values in, typically collected via report parameters from the end user. And now we come to the report controls themselves, which are used to lay out the design of a report. And I categorize these into two groups. We have data regions that bind to these data sets. So we have the table, matrix, list, chart, gauge, map, and some new specialized ones for data visualization being data bar, sparkline, and indicator. Now beyond that, the other items you'll find on the toolbox are simply report items that typically exist independently of the data set. So text boxes used for labels and report headers, lines, rectangles, images for corporate logos, and subreports to even embed other reports into other reports. Although I've got to say this is less common in reporting services because these data regions, you may have multiple of them in one report. And so I think you talked about a great example earlier that a single report can behave like a dashboard because it has multiple charts and tables and gauges. And it's one report.
Right.
I know that other competing reporting products can't do this, and you only can achieve this through subreports.
Right.
A lot of flexibility here in reporting services. So let's explore the most sophisticated data region, and perhaps the most common being the Tablex, that is characterized by flexible grid layout. It allows us to have grouping that is nested, adjacent, or recursive. Now, you won't find the Tablex on the toolbox. You'll find its variants on the toolbox instead. So let's explore. Why is it called a Tablex? Well, let's take a look at these two sets of data. The fact is we have customer with growth here, a single static column, and a breakdown of our customers by group. We have the same breakdown of the customers, but dynamic groups here across the years. We can get the best of both in one result now. The Tablex combines a table and a matrix to provide us now adjacent groupings, and you can come up with some very, very sophisticated arrangements of data. Now, you won't find that on the toolbox, but what you will do is find a table, matrix, and list being the variants. The table then provides a template that is characterized by fixed columns, and that we have grouping on the rows, so we can produce results that look like this. Mm-hmm. Table headers, groups with group headers, group footers, and a detail row that provides the granular data. The matrix then, if the template looks like this, we have groupings on both the columns and the rows, and at the intersection we'll be looking to use an aggregate function like sum of sales. And we can end up with reports like this. Okay, one challenge might be for you here, how wide is it going to be? Will it fit on that single Word document page? Maybe not. You don't know until the data is retrieved how wide it's going to be, which is why Excel is a great rendering choice for the matrix. List data region, still a tablex, but just really a big rectangle that once bound to the data, just repeats for the grouping level that you define, and it allows freeform placement to produce reports that might look like this. We have images and text boxes that repeat for each salesperson. And then we come to graphical representation of data. So we have charting, a comprehensive array of charts available to you. The configuration is done very conveniently through this chart data panel. Configure values, categories, and series. We have titles, axes, anything. You name it there, you have comprehensive configuration to customize what that chart will look
and
like
for you. As you said, no problem mixing and matching these things on the same page with a tablex, right?
Unusual to see that I have a tablex and a chart, maybe side by side or one beneath the other.
Right.
And they could use the same data set.
Sure.
Just different representations of the same data. The gauge data region provides a graphical representation of a single data point, typically used for things like KPIs. All right, so we have gauges and we have linear gauges, and you can customize pointers and scales and ranges to even convey status of what your single value has to say. The map data region was introduced recently in the 2008 R2 release, and so it delivers the capability to represent spatial data and to relate that with analytic data. So it works with SQL Server spatial data types and also the standard ESRI shapefile formats. It also includes map galleries if you're fortunate to have data in the USA. All right, beyond that, you're responsible for bringing in your own data, but there are tools that will take either deliver spatial data to you or allow you to convert maps into spatial data that reporting services can work with. And the other really neat thing about this is that if you configure your report server to communicate on the internet to the Bing map service, you can overlay the Bing maps with your geographic data as well, and you can bring in aerial, road, and hybrid views of the data. Numerous formatting options, and here's a basic example really of what we could achieve. Let's take a look at sales through color for the USA. So we have color scales, we have distance scales, we have a legend, and basically each state is a polygon, and we create a relationship between an analytic data set we have in the report and these shapes, and then we can create rules about how that data will be represented. Then we come to the data bars, sparklines, and indicators. So let's show them by example. A data bar is great for representing distribution of data. The sparkline is great particularly for time series data to show a trend. And then we have the indicators, which are great for KPIs and conveying status. You may well be familiar with these because Excel 2010 supports them as well, so we now have reporting services in sync. Now the report items, the text box commonly used for labels on reports. The header of the report, what's very cool is that you can also configure it to represent or render HTML. So if you have HTML that's collected from an application and stored in your table, there are common tags or HTML markup that will be rendered by the report server. Lines. Probably the most, what can I say here? I don't think I've ever used it. Because if I want a line, I'll just use a border on a text box.
Yeah.
The one exception, I've never had a reason to do it, is a diagonal line. It could be achieved with the line report item. The rectangle, well, if you want a rectangle, a square, or some shape, it might provide visual appeal to your report, but usually it's a design assister, in the sense that you may never see the rectangle itself, but as a container, you can cite other report items on it, and then conveniently you can move the rectangle around, and then everything will move with it. The image, commonly used for logos and so on. Just note that images can be stored on the report server or retrieved externally from web servers, maybe embedded in your report, or retrieved through data sets if it comes from your data. And then they can be used as freestanding, or they could be associated with rows of data in a tablex, or even as background images on the body of the report or various data regions. Very, very cool if you've got something like a watermark of your company logo very subtly in the background of the report. And then we come to the final item being the sub-report, that ability to embed reports within reports, although I find myself not using this very often because of the ability to embed multiple data regions in the one report. Okay, the one reason I would use this is reuse. For example, I have a chart and I want to use it multiple times.
I don't want to design it five times.
Right, yeah. Publish it once as a report, embed it, but we've got maybe a different approach now with report parts
right.
that might even make that concept redundant, and we'll talk about that in a later presentation. So the final section here talks about expressions, that many properties of these items can be configured dynamically by using expressions in VB.NET. So there are notable exceptions. So size, position, location cannot be changed dynamically. But many other properties can. So for example, the need to have conditional formatting, that exceptional data needs to be highlighted in red. We can then go to the color property of the text box, and we can assign an expression using the immediate if function that says, well, if this condition is true, make it red, otherwise we'll make it black. All right, there are global collections that you have at your disposal here. Your dataset fields are your primary resource for expressions. There are built-in fields that return things like report name, execution time, page numbers, and so on. The parameters that have collected values typically from the user requesting the report. And other report items can be used as well. Aggregate functions are commonly used also in the footers or headers of your tablexes. All right, so we have standard, sum, min, max, count. We have running for aggregations, running value, row number. And then new in 2008 R2, we have lookup functions. So this overcomes an issue we had that data sets in report designs are not tables that you can join together. And it is possible in the one report you could have multiple data sources that introduce data from multiple data repositories. Now, if there is the need to blend them together, now, this typically arises because data regions bind to one data set at a time. And you know, I need the data from my SQL Server database plus this extra property from the Access database. Bring the two data sets in. We now have these lookup functions that will allow you to use expressions to look up values in corresponding data sets. The expression editor is going to simplify constructing these expressions, and it provides the resources for you that by double-clicking you can introduce and facilitate the construction of your expression. Here's some classic examples. I want the current date and time. Let's go and add 6 months to the value of the start date parameter. This is commonly used in footers of reports, so the page number. Let's concatenate the page number global with the total pages. Here for conditional formatting, if the value of the profit field is less than zero, return red, otherwise return black. This would be assigned to the color property of a text box. And then for more complex, this one here, renderFormat.name, this is cool. Mm-hmm. New in 2008 R2 is we can now interrogate the rendering format that is being requested. And this is typically used in interactivity features that some rendering formats don't support. For example, an image doesn't support toggling of visibility that we'll explore in the next presentation. So we can actually disable or modify default behaviors depending on the rendering choice that is being made.
A great example there too would be having to make formatting changes based upon the reporting format. So one page breaker might format the report one way, but if you're going right. to Excel, it might be to separate workbooks in an Excel spreadsheet, right, depending upon the rendering format. Whereas before, you might have had to have developed multiple reports to handle that.
Exactly, and that was the way you did handle it,
right.
Versions of the same report.
Right.
And now dynamically through an expression and the report format name property, we can work with that. The switch is just a more complex form of immediate if. We can have multiple sets of conditions. So if the condition is true, this is returned. Otherwise, it moves on to the next set. And that's got to be easier than having nested ifs, like how many closing parentheses do I need?
Mm-hmm.
Always challenging. The last one introduces the topic of customization, that we can embed VB.NET functionality into the report design itself, and we can call it through the code object. All right. That brings us to the resources. So we've leave you with some great books to further explore these capabilities.
Great. Thanks a lot, Peter, and we'll see you in the next presentation.